Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Lynette. I'll be sharing the word, like Tim said. I'll be sharing the word today. We just continue to follow the Advent theme, which is preparing for the extraordinary. And today's focus is on pointing to the light. You might see me reading, but I will be sharing the word, reading what I prepared. So my focus today is on the John the Baptist. The scripture that I'll focus on is the first chapter of John. Chapter 1 is Jeff has read. I'll also mention Isaiah 61 as I go along. In John chapter 1, I will just read it again, because what I want to do is, I just want us to come to get into context, to give you the context of the whole picture of what I'll be talking about. So the book of John, the Gospel of John, or the fourth Gospel as it is known, it was written by Apostle John. But the John that I'll be talking about is John the Baptist. So he wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So as I have read this part, I just wanted to bring us into context. We are looking at the Gospel of John, and as I have read, it seems to the fourth Gospel where we encounter the incarnation of the Word of God, our Messiah, to this world. As I have read from John 1 to chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Here the Word of God, Apostle John personified the Word, and as he personified it, as Christ Jesus, our Lord. Apostle John unanimously, and other people of his time, agreed that, you know, that the Word was, at one point, the Word was mentioned as wisdom. The wisdom in the Proverbs, he was personified. But in this instance, Apostle John personified the Word of God, bringing us to the time of creation, when in the beginning, as in Genesis, he said God created. So what Apostle John was saying is, the Son of God was in the beginning. He wasn't created. He was in the beginning. He is eternal. He is from the beginning, and he will always be, just as God is. He is one with God. So he said, "God, the Word of God and God are one. The Word is God, and God is triune. You know, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." So in the emphasis of Apostle John in writing the fourth Gospel, his emphasis was to bring forth that Jesus Christ, our Lord, he is God. He wanted to portray, to make people believe or to understand that Jesus, he is divine. He wanted to portray the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And according to his word, to emphasize the purpose of his writing the gospel, he said in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, verses 30 to 31, he says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the purpose was to bring forth that Jesus Christ is deity, he is divine. His purpose of writing this book was to make people believe that he is God himself, who came in the form of a human being and dwelt among us. So he wanted people to believe that so that they can be saved. His main purpose, he didn't focus on what other writers wrote, like Apostle Matthew and other gospel writers. The others, they focused on the humanity of Christ. As we all know, Jesus Christ was 100% human and 100% God. So Apostle John, he focused mainly on the deity of our Lord, on his God, on him being God. That was his main focus. That is what he wanted us to believe. And as you know, he says, out of two witnesses, a case is established. So Jesus, first the Apostle Paul described the word, that the word is God. And that in the beginning, the word was God and the word is God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. But he needed to provide witness and a reputable witness. And the witness that he brought was John the Baptist, the one who was prophesied even before he was born, that he was going to come before Christ. He was going to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, showing that, telling people that the Lord, the Messiah, is coming. So John the Apostle, he brought out John the Baptist as a witness. As we all know, when we're in a court, we need reputable witnesses. We need people who can be trusted, people with integrity. And according to the scriptures, John was prophesied before he was born that he will be a witness. He was also prophesied that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. When the mother conceived him and Mary met her, the baby leaped and Elizabeth, the mother of John, started prophesying as well. After his birth, his father prophesied about the purpose of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist fulfilled his purpose. I just want to take you to I'll read again John chapter 1, verse 6. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So that was the main purpose of the birth of John the Baptist. As we all know, according to the scriptures, his parents were old, the mother was barren, they didn't have a child, until an angel came to the father, Zachariah, and pronounced that he is going to have a child with his wife. And Zachariah argued, he said, how can it be? We are old. And the angel described how it was going to be. But he made sure that John's father became mute. So he was mute until the birth of John. When they asked him, what name do you want us to give your son? That's when he started speaking. He said, John. So I just want to read verses 19 onwards. It says, now this was John's testimony. As we all know, John grew up, and as he was already filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led, obviously, in the wilderness. That's where he lived. He ate locusts and honey. He lived a life separated from everyone else. He lived a life devoted to the Lord. His purpose, he knew his purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose. He went out, and when he started his ministry, he was baptizing in the River Jordan. The River Jordan is quite far away from Jerusalem. It's in the wilderness, according to the way it's described. So people were coming to him in that wilderness. They were coming to him to be baptized by John in that wilderness. Says now, this was John's testimony, when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. They heard about this man who was baptizing in Jordan. The Sanhedrin heard that there was a man who was baptizing in Jordan. They heard that he was baptizing people, asking them to repent. So because there were people who were in authority over the spiritual life of the Israelites, they wanted to know, who is this one who is baptizing? Who has sent him? Because they didn't know him. He wasn't known among them. He was none of their disciples. So they wanted to know. What they did, they sent priests and they sent Levites. As we all know, priests were serving God in the temple. So were the Levites. And at times they were teaching the word. So they were sent by the Pharisees to go and find out who John is. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely, "I am not a Messiah." He knew who he was, John the Baptist. He knew his calling, he knew the limitations of his ministry. He said he's not the Messiah. The way it says, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" First, everyone, the whole community, the Jewish people, were expecting the Messiah to come. From the beginning, it was prophesied that the Messiah will come to deliver his people from oppression. But they didn't realize how the Messiah was going to come. They didn't realize the mission that God had given the Messiah. What mission was he coming with? Like John mentioned, that he came and dwelt among them, but they didn't know him, they didn't recognize him. They probably expected somebody else. They expected a different Messiah. At times we expect God, we make our own God, and we make him what we want him to be like. God is God. We cannot box him. We cannot confine him in any place. God is who he is. So John the Baptist says, "I'm not the Messiah." They asked him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" If we look back in Malachi, I'll just read quickly the last chapter of Malachi. It was prophesied. One second. He says, it was prophesied, he said, "Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogance and evildoers will stumble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will tremble on the wicked. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. You will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I'll come and strike the land with total destruction. So they were expecting Elijah to come. As we all know, Elijah, the prophet, didn't die. He was taken up in a chariot to heaven. He didn't die. So there's no grave of Elijah. So the promise was, the Lord was going to send the prophet Elijah before the people, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's why they asked him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." Then they asked him, "Are you the prophet?" According to the scriptures, Moses had promised that there will be a prophet like himself who will come. So they expected that prophet, that it may be John the Baptist is that prophet. But he said, no. Finally, they said to him, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who have sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John the Baptist could have said a lot of things. He could have maybe said, "I'm a prophet." He could have said, "I'm a preacher." He could have said something else. But he said, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." He didn't draw the attention to himself. He didn't say who he is. He said what he's doing. He pronounced his calling. He described it to them. He said, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah? You are not Elijah or the prophet." Then John the Baptist said, "I baptize with water." John replied, "But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie." So as we all know, even today, there's a trend that is here nowadays where people want to draw attention to their ministries. They want to draw people's attention to themselves. They describe themselves with maybe the giftings that God has given them. And with that, they try to draw crowds to themselves. What they don't do is to draw people to Christ. They don't point their people to the Lord. They draw them to themselves. Yesterday, I went to Milton Keynes. And as I was there, I was with one of the sisters from this church. As we were there, we met a lady who had a leaflet, a pamphlet, evangelizing. But the words that she said, it just reminded me that this is what we are doing nowadays. She said, "I'm inviting you to our church." Yet we don't need to invite people to the church. What we need is to invite people to Christ. We need to point the lost. We need to point the world to the Lord. Our main purpose as witnesses is to point people to Christ, not to call them to our church. As they give their lives, as the Holy Spirit works on them, they will start to seek for a church because the Holy Spirit will lead them. So John the Baptist, he did make his confessions. Like I said, he pronounced who he was. He said who he is according to what he knows. He knew that he was called. There was a prophecy given by Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says, I'll just read it quickly. So his calling, the birth of John and his calling was prophesied way back, before he was even born, before anyone knew that there would be John the Baptist. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 reads, A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway of our God. So John the Baptist's declaration that this is who he is, that he is the evangelist, he is the witness. He came to herald, to pronounce that the coming of the Messiah. He said that because he knew that he was the person who was sent by God. In many of the Old Testament prophets and most part of the Jewish expectation, they expected Jesus in that day. They knew that there's going to be someone who will come to pronounce the coming of the Messiah. Like I said, many of today's preachers, they are pointing people to themselves instead of to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself to us. He said, he says in Acts chapter 1, our purpose as believers, once we are saved, once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, is to become witnesses of Christ. I will read Acts chapter 1, verse 8 quickly. But he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the purpose that God has called us. He sent his son to come to the world to redeem us. And just like John the Baptist, he was a witness to the light. We are also to become the witnesses to the same light. Jesus Christ is coming again. He has come as a baby. He grew up among us and he saved the Lord. He did his ministry on this earth. He gave his life. The main purpose for his coming was to give his life as a ransom for us. And he did that. And he was raised back to life. Now our purpose as people of God is to point people to Christ, is to point them to the light of the world. So let us point people to Jesus Christ, irrespective of our age, irrespective of our gender or our nationality. Let us witness to the light and the love of Christ to all the people in our lives, in our neighborhood, in our communities and our nations. In John chapter 14, verse 66, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. And then in John 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. So there's no other way that people can be led, can be saved, other than through Christ. So let us lead people to Christ. Our witness is pointing to the light, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is sending us as witnesses. As John was being questioned by these who were sent by the Pharisees, he didn't say, I'm the prophet, like I said earlier. He continued to point them to Christ, to point to who the light is. And he even said that even the thong of the sandal of Christ is not worthy to undo. During that time, there were slaves who used to serve their masters. There were disciples who were being taught by their teachers. And as disciples, they were not expected to undo the sandals of their teachers or of their rabbis. It was the work of a slave. And John the Baptist, he humbled himself to that level to say he is not worthy, not even worthy to be a slave before the presence of God. He knew who he was. He knew his position. He knew his limitations. He was brought into the world as a witness to the light of the world. And finally, he says, it's written that all this took place in Bethany, which was a place outside Jerusalem, said, all this happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptized. So what it means is people were coming out and going into the wilderness to hear this preacher and to be baptized. Something about his preaching drew men to him. Something about his preaching made people convicted of sin to a point where they were willing to repent of their sins and be baptized in preparation of the coming of the Messiah. Even today, God is asking us to repent. Today, we are supposed to repent. There's no end. We are living in a fallen world. So we fail every day. We stumble. We should repent every time and make our hearts right, make our lives right, live a righteous life because we're anticipating the coming of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. What kind of a church is he coming for? The church of God is called the bride of Christ. As his bride, what is the condition of our hearts? How committed are we to the Lord himself? When he comes back, how is he going to find us? As witnesses, what are we witnessing? Because John didn't just witness with his preaching. He witnessed with his lifestyle. He lived a life separated. His focus was on the Lord, was on the calling. We are all called as witnesses to the light. Let us live a life that is worthy of the calling that God has called us. He sent his son. The Bible says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe will be saved. Whosoever, we are the whosoever because we have believed. We have been redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. But it doesn't end there. He didn't redeem us to stay here in the world. He didn't redeem us to be quiet. He redeemed us so that we can make disciples of others. He said, he gave a great commission. He said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Those who are saved should be able to share the gospel to others so that the others can also be redeemed. And it's an ongoing process, generation after generation. There have been those who have come before us. They did their part. They served the Lord to the best of their ability, with the whole of their hearts. Here we are today. What are we doing? How are we serving the Lord? Are we doing it with the best of our hearts? Are we committed to him wholly, as John the Baptist showed us? He is our example as servants of the Lord. He is our example as believers who believe in Christ. John the Baptist is our example, the one who came to point to the light. As I close, I just want to say this quick prayer. I say it's the collect. It's just a quick prayer. If we can all close our eyes, says, living God, as we remember John the Baptist, who by his integrity prepared the way for Jesus, and every other faithful witness, we have stood by your truth. Whatever the cost, make us faithful to the truth we know, so that by our integrity, we may prepare the way for Jesus into many lives, to the honor of your name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.